Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Today, host Richard Pettis brings you the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Saint of the Day, and our daily update. We will be right back after a few messages.
Looking for a Catholic counselor? Dr. Peter Klapones, Deb Rojas, and the team at Integrity Counseling Services provide faithful Catholic counseling in Pennsylvania and beyond. We offer telehealth and in-person counseling for porn addiction, betrayal trauma, anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, and much more. You can find us at integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781. That's integritycounselingpa.com or 610-601-9781.
Looking for a Catholic counselor or coach? Dr. Fred Boley provides faithful Catholic counseling and coaching for men in Missouri and beyond. He conveniently offers telehealth services for anxiety, depression, marriage counseling, or just getting stuff done. You can find him at stbarn.org or 872-269-1280. Once again, the number is 872-269-1280.
She is a Catholic recording artist, multi-award-winning songwriter. She sings contemporary and folk rock music. She has been in the music industry for over 5 years. Her music is her ministry. She aims to help people that suffer from all kinds of pain in life and try to bring them to the Lord through her music. She has 3 albums out and her music is being played on radio stations all over the world. Her website is lisamarienicole.com and she is on social media. Her music page is facebook.com Lisa Songs of Worship, YouTube at Lisa M. Nicole, Instagram Lisa_Marie_Nicole_official. Her songs can be purchased on her website, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and everywhere else. Her merchandise store has everything for her ministry and can be accessed through her website. Her new CDs will be available very soon and can be purchased through her website. She counts herself blessed that God has chosen her to help spread his message. She is Lisa Marie Nicole. Get her music today.
The Four Persons Network asks our Catholic friends to check out and join the fast-growing Catholic website, message board, and community at Catholicism Rock. The quality and diversity of contributors is breathtaking and the content spans everything from education to news and commentary and spiritual insight. Partners of the Four Persons and our friends. Please check them out at CatholicismRocks.com.
We at the Four Persons invite you to check out the Rock Company located in Bethlehem. Our friends Tony and Paulette Rock have an incredible selection of handcrafted masterpieces and religious items. From nativity sets and Last Supper carvings to rosaries and crucifixes. They have items for every budget from modest cost all the way up to priceless treasures. They ship anywhere in the world. Please visit them at therockcompanyshop.com and tell them you heard about them on The Four Persons. The Four Persons, Inc. is a federally registered and licensed 501c3 charity. Any use of any of our content without our permission is prohibited by law. Our purpose is evangelization, education, and social action. Please go to our website at thefourpersons.com or our blog site at thefourpersons.net to make your tax-deductible donation by credit or debit card. You can also send a check to The Four Persons, Inc., P.O. Box 11214, Manassas, Virginia, 20113. To contact us, send us an email at email@thefourpersons.com. Welcome to the Four Persons Network. Join us at this hour of mercy for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for the intentions of the holy souls in purgatory and to rid the world of the scourge of abortion. The intro is by Donna Corey Gibson, copied from the YouTube channel Super School.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
Be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Pope St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Jesus, we trust in you.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. So how are you today, John?
Doing better than I deserve.
I hear you. I definitely hear that. And let's see. So what, you know, we had a really good time last night with Lisa, even though I was a little bit late, and I apologize.
Understood. But
and,
she put on a great show.
She always puts on a great show.
Yeah, she did. She even did a couple of Pat Benatar covers, which hit really home to me. I mean, a lot of those songs were really, really personal to me. They were songs that were really, really personal to, you know, me and my wife. And, you know, it's amazing how some of those old songs just bring back, you know, bring back memories. One in particular that she did brought back memories of, oh, I see she's going to be in concert in Washington, D.C., July 9th.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, I may have to check that out. I've seen her once. Yeah.
Cool.
Nearest event, July 9th to Tuesday at 8 p.m. April 22nd, she's going to be in Nashville, Tennessee. May 10th in Lincoln, California. July 6th in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Just happened to trip across that. But one of the songs that really, really hit home was a song that was just brings back memories of my best friend who passed away last year, passed away in March of last year, and that was Shadows of the Night. It just was a song that was just real big at that time. So just amazing, those old songs bring those memories back.
No doubt. You know, I've got her talked into learning a Lita Ford so that she can do some Lita Ford next time.
And we did talk a lot about, you know, some of the great, really, really great songs that, you know, that Pat Benatar did. That was really a very, very underrated band. I thought that they were. I mean, and she was given all the credit because of her vocals, and rightly so. I mean, she was.
Well, it was the Pat Benatar band.
And she is an unbelievable vocalist. I mean, there's, all I'm saying is it doesn't end there. We were talking about what was probably her best song, and it was a song that was inspired by, she read a magazine article about the horrors of child abuse, and she was so outraged by the article. And the article was actually called Hell is for Children.
Hell is for Children.
Yeah. And she was so outraged that she decided to write this song, and she showed the lyrics to her husband, and he felt like, well, she showed the absolute rage in her vocals, he was determined that he had to match the intensity of that rage, expressing that rage in the guitar solo in the song. I think he nails it. I really do.
Well, and Myron Grombacher nailed it on drums too.
Yeah. 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 They were an unbelievable band. Here's just a minute from that song.
Give and fall.
Richard, I don't think I'm overstating it when I say that song is just a masterpiece.
It is. You're absolutely right, it is.
It's so powerful, and it's also a perfectly constructed song, but it's just so powerful. It's emotionally overwhelming. And if that song doesn't move you to rage, you probably don't have a pulse.
So. I'm pretty much thinking the same thing.
Yeah. So, today is April 13th. Who is our saint of the day?
Our saint of the day today is Pope St. Martin I. He was born between 590 and 600. He died on September 16th, 655. He is widely regarded as the last pope to suffer martyrdom. He was actually arrested in Rome by the Byzantine Empire, and some accounts say he was actually taken into custody while sickly reclining on a couch in front of the altar in the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. And, of course, Rome was back then controlled primarily by the Pope, but, you know, the Eastern Roman Empire had a lot to do with it back in the day as well. And to date, he is the only pope taken into custody in the Basilica of St. John Lateran. And, of course, that basilica is named for the apostle and evangelist, St. John. So, like I said, he was born between 590 and 600 near Todi, Umbria, in a place that is today named for him, and that place is called Pian di San Martino. According to his biographer, Theodore, Pope St. Martin I was of nobility and had an extreme intelligence. He was also extremely charitable to the poor. He may have been part of the Order of St. Basil and may have been abbot of a monastery, but we're not positive about that. So in 641, Pope John IV sent the future pope to Dalmatia and Istria with vast sums of money to alleviate the sufferings of the poor in that region. His mission was also to win the release of captives taken by the Slavs during their invasion. Many of the churches in Dalmatia and Istria were destroyed, and the idea of rebuilding them was beyond consideration at the time. Accordingly, Pope St. Martin I lovingly and carefully gathered all of the relics he could locate and brought them to Rome. In Rome, Pope St. John IV erected an oratory in their honor and to house the recovered relics. Pope St. Martin I acted as a papal legatee during the early period of the papacy of Pope Theodore I, his immediate predecessor. Pope St. Martin I was but a deacon at the time of his election to the papacy. And, you know, this might be a good time to point out that there's actually no requirement that the pope be a cardinal or an archbishop or a bishop, or even a priest. You know, when Pope Francis goes, John, you and I are both in the running.
Pete, I mean, Richard, I don't know why I came up with Pete. Richard, got to be honest with you. If I become Pope, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, I didn't say that it would be a good thing. I just said we're both in the running. You know, the odds of either of us becoming Pope are slim to none, with Slim having walked out the door in, 1470 or so.
Yeah. I'd say
so,
slim to none is probably on the optimistic side.
Yeah. So when Pope St. Martin I was elected Pope in 649, Constantinople was the capital of the Eastern Church. The patriarch there was the most influential leader in the church at the time. Without awaiting the approval or ratification or blessing of the patriarch, Pope St. Martin I had himself consecrated as Bishop of Rome. After ascending to the papacy, one of his first official acts he undertook was to convene the Lateran Council of 649. Its primary purpose was to deal with the monothelites, who had come up with the idea that Jesus had only one will, when the church had been teaching for 600 years and teaches to this day that Jesus had two wills, one human and one divine. And of course, monotheism was condemned as a heresy. Pope St. Martin I quickly penned down the holdings of the council into a papal encyclical. Emperor Constans responded by sending his armies into Italy to arrest the Pope. On June 17, 653, Pope St. Martin I was arrested along with St. Maximus the Confessor in the Basilica of St. John Lateran. His captors quickly removed him from Rome, first to Nablus, Greece, and then to Constantinople. And for those who don't know, Constantinople is currently known as Istanbul, Turkey, which is actually the third name for that city, and I can't remember the first one to save my life. Byzantium?
I don't know.
If I was really interested, I'd look it up. So anyway, he was saved from execution by the pleas of Patriarch Paul II of Constantinople. The imperial Byzantine government forced the election of a new pope, much to the chagrin of Pope St. Martin I. Pope St. Eugene I was elected in his stead, or Pope Eugene I. I didn't say saint. He's not a saint. Well, I did say saint, but he's not a saint that I'm aware of. So anyway, Pope St. Martin I did finally acquiesce to the election of Pope Eugene I. Afterwards, Pope St. Martin I suffered a long and grueling imprisonment that included the suffering of many indignities. He was finally exiled to Cherson on the Crimean Peninsula close to Sevastopol on May 15, 655, where he died the ensuing September the 16th. He was declared a saint prior to the Congregation for Causes of the Saints. So like the saint of yesterday, who I can't remember to save my life.
Julius the First,
you're right. He was declared a saint by public acclamation. Pope St. Martin I?
Pray for us.
A
couple
exactly.
of interesting observations. You say he died on September 16th.
Yes.
That happens to be the day that my brother Mike died in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Same day. But the thing that's unusual is, in the overwhelming majority of the cases, a saint is celebrated on the day of their death.
The day of their entry into heaven, correct.
Right. So why the exception in this case? Any particular reason?
Well, my guess would be, and this is just a guess, and this is based on Pope St. John Paul II, whose feast day is not April 2nd, the day he died, but rather it's October 23rd, the day that he was consecrated as Bishop of Rome. So my guess is that Pope St. Martin the First was consecrated Bishop of Rome on April 13th. I could not find anything to back that up, however. And I did have the same observation and actually wondered as much as I was putting the article together earlier today.
Right, right.
You know, I did wonder that. And I did ask myself that question. So, and all I can figure is that it was the day that he was consecrated Pope.
Cool.
And again, that's just based on a guess based on John Paul II.
I mean, it's a reasonable guess.
Yep.
So that's what we're going to go with.
It's as good a guess as any.
Until we hear different, that's what we're going with. So Sir William of Hemsworth had two shows today, Assisted Suicide and the End of Life Issues with Dr. John Kilner, and followed that up with that was the second show. The first show
that was Burnt Toast and Coffee.
Right, that was Burnt Toast and Coffee. And the first show, The Best Argument for God with Pat Flynn. So I have, in full disclosure, I have not had a chance to listen to either show, but I will listen to both of them this weekend. Do you have any comments on either one of those?
Well, I really liked the show on assisted suicide. It pointed out the Catholic arguments against assisted suicide and why we don't condone assisted suicide, which of course has everything to do with the fact that we believe in the sanctity of life in all its stages.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to it than just that, and I'm not going to take the mystery out of it because I want everybody else to get a chance to listen to it as well.
Right. Doing a little bit of a rewind, going back to Thursday, Terry Delp did a pre-recorded episode on the Apostles' Creed. And
which was very good.
And yesterday, Catholic Ken did a show on salvation. So those are two more that you need. So you got a lot of homework, folks. It's four shows you got to listen to. And then we had a great show yesterday. Fantastic doubleheader show. It started off with the concert with Lisa Marie Nicole. And then we talked about the Israel trip, which got me just really, really pumped up about that. That's going to be an incredible trip. And so what do we got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, Terry has read my email but hasn't yet responded as to what his show is going to be on Thursday. Ken said that he's working on a show about the Mass, but he might just do a show on answering common objections if he doesn't get the show about the Mass done on time. And if John is available to join him on common objections.
Okay.
And then William has not read my email about what topics he might be doing for Saturday, but he's usually not online this time of day.
Yeah, so closure, I got to talk about being available. My place of employment has decided to have a daily meeting at 7:30 every morning now. So that blows apart the idea that I'll be able to call in on Ken's show unless he can move the time one way or the other. So I'm going to talk to him about that to see if he can move the time. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's that. And then, but if not, he'll have his show on what subject? On the Mass.
On the Mass.
Yeah. That should be interesting.
Frankly, I think he ought to do a show about what you can find in the church, you know, the altar of Mary, the altar of Saint Joseph, the votive candles, you know, what you find in the altar area. You know, things yeah. like that, because a lot of Catholics don't know, and it's because they either don't remember from when they were taught as kids, or they just don't know to begin with.
Yeah.
Or never knew.
There's a lot to it. There's a lot to, you know, the Mass and everything that we go through and everything that we do. So these kind of shows are very, very educational. So I do plan on doing a show tomorrow. I haven't exactly settled on which exact topic I'm going to do, so I'm not going to say yet. But I do plan on doing a show tomorrow. We'll leave it at that.
Okay, and then, of course, we've got the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3:30 Eastern tomorrow, which tomorrow is the last day that we're doing the Chaplet of Divine Mercy at 3:30 Eastern. Starting on Monday, we go to 3 o'clock Eastern. So we're going to move it up a half hour, or move it back a half hour. We're moving it by a half hour to 3 o'clock instead of 3:30.
Yep.
So for those who were worried that we were canceling the show, we're not canceling the show.
No.
We're just moving it.
And probably lengthen, making it longer.
Well, we'll do that at least on the Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays in May when we pray the rosary, because May is the month of the rosary. And so we're gonna pray the rosary in addition to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday we'll pray the joyful mysteries. Wednesday we'll pray the glorious mysteries, and Friday we'll pray the sorrowful mysteries.
So we're not going to do the luminous.
No, because that's the those are Thursday mysteries.
And that doesn't work for you?
It doesn't work for me because
okay.
we're doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
I mean, I guess we could go, you know, joyful, sorrowful, luminous, and then glorious the next Monday, you know, glorious the next Monday.
Well, however you see fit, I'm on board with. If you want to do it either way, I'm on board with it.
Let's just stick to the three basics, the joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious.
Okay.
Because there were only 150 psalms, or there are only 150 psalms.
Only 150.
Well, and that's what the rosary was about. Because, you know, back in the day, back in the 9th century, people didn't, you know, we didn't have a printing press. So people couldn't read, and they couldn't read the Bible. And so it was settled to do 150 Hail Marys in three sets of five mysteries so that, you know, one Hail Mary would equal each psalm.
Yeah, it was a devotion for those who couldn't recite the entire Psalter.
Exactly.
Makes perfect sense.
You know. Today, we don't need that, but we still pray the rosary because it's so wonderful and beautiful.
And powerful.
And powerful. And we've got a few different rosaries that we're going to be praying, so it's not going to be the same rosary every day.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a couple of different rosary books. One is the Rosary Litany that we're going to pray, and that's a beautiful rosary, guys.
Sounds great.
So let's go ahead and pray the St. Jude Novena while I'm thinking about it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Most holy St. Jude, apostle, martyr, and friend of Jesus, today we ask that you pray for us and our intentions. And y'all, please state your request here silently in your own heart. You are the patron of the impossible. Pray for us and our intentions. O St. Jude, pray that God's grace and mercy will cover our intentions. Pray for the impossible if it is God's will. Pray that we may have the grace to accept God's holy will, even if it is painful and difficult for us. St. Jude, you are known for answering lost causes. Pray for our most impossible needs. O St. Jude, pray for us that we may grow in faith and love and in the grace of Jesus Christ. Pray for these intentions, but most of all, pray that we may join you in heaven with God for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I love this novena, and it is a very powerful novena. And then about 9 days before Pentecost, we will start praying the Holy Spirit novena, which is the oldest novena in the church. And
yeah, a lot of people who may be tuning in, if anybody happens to be tuning in, this idea of novenas, that's where it started.
That's right.
The mother of Jesus and the apostles were in the upper room praying for 9 days when the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. And that's what novena means. It means nine. And of course, as if to throw a wrench in the works, when they modified the calendar and added the month of November, it's the 11th month, and December, which should be the 10th month, is the 12th month, and October, which should be the 8th month, is the 10th month. I don't know what happened there, but anyway.
Well, in September ought to be the 7th month.
Yeah. Yeah, so you got September, October, November, and December are all out of place.
Exactly.
So what happened there? We're going to have to fix that, Richard. Make a memo that we're going to have to fix that.
You know, you have fun trying to do that. So today we're going to talk about... Exactly. Today we're going to talk about the Eucharistic miracle of Eaton, which is in Peru, and it happened in 1649. So almost 400 years ago at this point. And it happened, of course, in the Peruvian town of Port Eaton. In a host exposed for public adoration, there appeared the child Jesus and three interconnected hearts of a brilliant white color. Every year, the feast in honor of this event begins on July 12th with the transfer of the host of the miracle from its sanctuary to the church in the city of Eaton, and the feast ends on July 24th. The first apparition of the Divine Child in the Most Holy Sacrament took place on the night of June 2nd, 1649, during the Vespers and the solemn exposition in honor of the Feast of Corpus Christi. At the end of the service, the Franciscan monk Jerome da Silva Maranique was about to return the monstrance to the tabernacle, but he suddenly stopped. In the host, there appeared the brilliant face of a child framed by thick brown curls that fell to the shoulders. All the faithful present in the church experienced the same vision. The second apparition took place a few days later on July 22nd of the same year during the celebrations in honor of St. Mary of Magdalene, patroness of the city. According to the testimony of Brother Marco Lopez, superior of the convent in Chiclayo, during the exposition of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Divine Child Jesus again appeared in the host dressed in a purple tunic, that he wore a shirt up to the middle of the chest, according to the custom of the South American Indians. Through this sign, the Divine Child wanted to identify with the Mohican inhabitants of Eaton to demonstrate his love for them. In the same apparition, which lasted about 15 minutes, many also saw appearing in the host three small white hearts, united among themselves. These symbolized the three persons of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, present in the consecrated host. To this day, the feast in honor of the miracle of the Divine Child of Eton continues to attract thousands of faithful yearly. You know, that's a place that I'd love to go.
Yeah.
I would love to experience that. And I know that I would experience it. And apparently they have celebrations that includes traditional dance and, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful event, apparently, that I would love to see.
Yeah, there's and so many miracles like that in our church that, you know, that repeat themselves at you know, particular times during the year associated with a particular saint. It's just an amazing thing.
Yep, and tomorrow we will talk about the Eucharistic miracle of Betania in Venezuela that happened December 8th, 1991. And, of course, we know the importance of December 8th, don't we?
Yeah, and we also know the importance of Betania, Venezuela. The apparitions of our Blessed Lady there are approved. They are of among the 25 officially approved apparitions of the Catholic Church. So Betania, Venezuela is very important.
Yes, it is. And December 8th is just a very fitting day to have this apparition or this Eucharistic miracle.
Yeah, nothing happens by coincidence.
No, there's no such thing as coincidence when it comes to God.
Yeah. None whatsoever. So on that note, I have to run because I'm headed to Mass, and I will see you tomorrow.
Well, and I've got to call it a day as well because I'm headed to, I got to hit the shower, and then I got to run to the Knights Hall because we're having a social tonight. So okay. If you guys are in Gadsden and want some good Mexican food, come on over to the Knights of Columbus Hall. It's free. Just tell them I invited you. Of course, I know nobody listening is in Gadsden.
Yeah, I'm a few miles away from there.
Yeah, well, then come on over. We'll expect to see you. We'll save you. We'll save you a place.
A few is a relative term.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, guys, I want you to all have a blessed rest of your Saturday, and I want you to remember that Sunday Mass is a Saturday decision. So make your decision today that you're going to Mass tomorrow.
Or tonight.
Well, Sunday Mass is a Saturday decision.
Yeah.
Saturday Mass is a Friday decision. But
if you go Saturday night, it counts towards your Sunday obligation.
Correct. If you go afternoon on Saturday, it counts towards your Sunday obligation.
Yep.
But Sunday Mass is a Saturday decision. And so I want you to have a blessed rest of your Saturday, and we'll see you at Mass tomorrow, and then we'll see you right back here at 3:30 Eastern for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the Saint of the Day, and the Daily Update, and, of course, the St. Jude Novena and the Eucharistic Miracle of the Day. And I want you to have a blessed day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When you go to Mass, pray for me.